December 23rd, 1783. General George Washington stands before Congress in Annapolis. The Revolutionary War is won, and the world expects him to seize power. Many whisper he could crown himself king. Instead, Washington does something almost unthinkable. He resigns his commission and returns to civilian life. By relinquishing authority, he sends a signal that power should serve the people, not the self. That moment helped cement trust in the fledgling republic. Washington's act was not just symbolic, it was a structural safeguard that set norms for generations. What can modern leaders learn from this? That the way power is designed, signaled, and constrained matters as much as who holds it. You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success. Welcome back to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences, and you're listening to episode 4 of our special mini-series on power in leadership. In episode 1, we laid out an owner's manual for power. In episode 2, we looked at how hard versus soft power feels to followers. In episode 3, we explored what happens when leaders fear losing power and drift toward self-interest. Today, we turn practical. How do we design power in organizations so it drives performance, not corruption? How do we build structures, signals, and safeguards that keep power healthy? And one quick reminder before we dive in. This fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its online leadership academy. The first course is designed to help leaders like you to decode the psychological and biological and evolutionary traps that hold organizations back. Stay tuned. All right. Why are we talking about designing power? Well, design matters. Look, power doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's shaped by structures, by rules, roles, reporting lines, by signals, like, for instance, how authority is modeled, and by safeguards, like mechanisms that prevent abuse. In evolutionary terms, this was a function of social norms and coalition pressures. Groups that checked their leaders survived longer. In modern organizations, the equivalent is thoughtful design, structures that give leaders authority to act, but also ensure that power serves the group. What does research tell us about the use of power influencing organizations or any group of human beings exposed to that very power? Three components among many stand out. And again, we have the literature in the show notes. One, Peyton, Cigarmi, and Fowler, 2020, showed that leaders who rely on soft power, which is expert, referent, or informational power, foster followers' intrinsic and identified motivation, boosting persistence and organizational commitment. Overuse of hard power, which is reward, coercive, or legitimate power, by contrast leads to surface compliance, but weaker long-term engagement. Number two, as already discussed in the last episode, this et al. 2019, demonstrated that when leaders fear losing power, they are more likely to act self-servingly. Competitive climates amplify this effect. In other words, how power is structured and signaled shapes whether leaders stay focused on the group or drift towards self-preservation. Three, complementing these findings, psychological research, Keltner, Grunfeld, and Anderson 2003, shows that elevated power often leads to reduced empathy and impaired social perception. People in high power roles are less attuned to the emotions and perspectives of those lower in hierarchy because their attention shifts inward toward goals and control. This can mute early cues of discontent, hide blind spots, and make leaders slower to pick up on ecosystem changes. When combined with structures lacking feedback or checks, this blind spot can accelerate drift and organizational decay. Together, these three threads of research show that good power design must not just allow for an environment where intrinsic motivation can flourish and restrain corruption, but also must maintain emphatic attunement. Leaders need structures that help them see what's happening to others, not just steer. Together, these findings highlight the need to build systems that encourage soft power as the default, while constraining the drift into hoarding and coercion when insecurity rises. Time boxed. The dynamics? Well, here are some examples of power by design. One, as we just discussed, George Washington modeled restraint by stepping down, embedding a safeguard against autocracy in American political culture. The signal was as powerful as a structure. It told followers that legitimacy mattered more than ambition. Lee Kuan Yew in Singapore built institutions that concentrated enough power to drive economic development, but coupled them with procedural rigor and anti-corruption norms. His leadership showed that strong authority can coexist with developmental legitimacy when carefully safeguarded. And then Gene Kranz at NASA during Apollo 13 exemplified time-boxed hard power. In crisis, he used directive authority decisively. But his default leadership style was prestige-based, anchored in expertise and collaboration. This flexible design allowed NASA to switch between modes depending on the context. And these cases illustrate a spectrum, from relinquishing power to institutionalizing it responsibly to using it situationally. Each demonstrates how design choices shape outcomes. So, how do we translate this into practice? Three strategies stand out. One, design for soft power default. Create structures that emphasize expertise and information sharing. Encourage leaders to build credibility and transparency. Ensure reporting lines and processes support collaborations rather than fear-driven compliance. How to do that? Well, in organizational theory terms, for example, this could mean switching a unit to a matrix, making it necessary to break out of your silos so that people need to talk again across departments, basically relearning to discuss the issues versus listening to the one boss and going with it compliantly. One option out of many. Number two, time box hard power. Recognize that reward and coercive power have their place in crisis, compliance issues, reckless behavior, or safety context. The key is to use them briefly and visibly, reset back to soft power once the emergency passes. Leaders should explicitly signal when they are switching modes. And then three, build safeguards. Install checks and balances. Transparent metrics, share fate incentives, procedural fairness. Just as coalitions in small tribes restrained would-be tyrants, modern organizations need oversight structures that prevent leaders from slipping into self-serving behavior under threat. The principle is simple. Design power so it serves the mission and the people rather than the ego of the leader. So, if there is one thing I wanted to take away from this episode, it's this. Power by design is safer and stronger than power by default. Structures, signals, and safeguards keep leaders focused on the group and make organizations more resilient. All right, this was it again for today. If this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share it with any leader in your network. And don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching a new online leadership academy this fall. It's packed with insights, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. Lastly, if you want to learn more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does it in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.